gentlemen, please take your seats. The spotlight is about to begin. Good evening, everyone. I'm Mystery Matt, and you're listening to the Mystery Matt Spotlight Podcast. If you guys only heard the nasty stuff they were saying about me before I hit this button, this is ridiculous. This evening, I'm joined by Sarah, Nancy, and Greg, and we've got a studio audience member as long as she keeps her cool. Yeah, keep it cool. Righto. This evening, we are talking about the 90s and the music it brought us.
Yeah, a little light-hearted stuff a little bit to break up the monotony of the heavier stuff we've been doing.
Now, I don't like lists, so I would prefer experiences when you first heard a thing. Well, I know a really good one to start it off with. I know they came out in the 80s and maybe even as early as the 70s, but Queen. Mm-hmm. When was one of their later hits? Did any come out in the 90s?
No, I don't.
Wasn't the 80s? Was that one where he was dressed in drag?
Oh, that was I Want to Break Free. Yeah, but they had the longevity, though, that carried them through the decades.
Yeah, see.
And they still are popular today.
My example was going to be that in the 90s, I listened to them, but I know they're not a 90s band.
Oh, I can tell you that the first time I heard them was on Wayne's World. When they did the Bohemian Rhapsody in the car. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, from then on, I was like, oh, cool, Queen's a really cool
and
band.
And Wayne's World came out in the 90s.
Yes, it did. I think it was 92.
Swing.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Wayne. We still bring her up all the time.
Oh, yeah. You got me a gun rack. What am I going to do with a gun rack? I don't even own a gun, let alone enough to fill a rack.
Oh, man. We don't get those kind of comedians that do the extra wacky stuff
anymore.
You know, Jim Carrey's coming back, but he doesn't have the same je ne sais quoi, you know. You know, our love is like a red, red rose, and I am a little thorny.
Okay. Anyways, so you're like, talking about a band, though, that like Queen, that lasted through a couple decades.
Yeah, is there any in the 90s that like really went boom and are still worth talking about?
I was going to talk about Bon Jovi, even though they started in the 80s. They had like a revamp themselves in the 90s. I think their one album, I think there's like 4 years in between their one album and their fifth studio album, which came out in 92. When they came back in 92, you saw John Bon Jovi no longer having the long hair. Like, you know, all the hair bands, he had the shorter hair, but it was still long.
They moved from the hair band status.
Yeah, they moved from the hair band
status. What kind of songs did they have when they released that one?
They were a little on the same cusp. You could see the...
Like, can you name any?
Yeah, like, you see the evolving from the 80s rock into the more 90s rock kind of thing, where you have that, but they cross over really well. So you had, like, Keep the Faith, which kind of kept the... Yeah, I know what songs they have. It's one of my favorite bands.
Love Bon Jovi.
Yeah. So they had like, you got from New Jersey to the album Keep the Faith. And Keep the Faith itself, stop it, Matthew. Matthew, stop it. Stop it.
I'm not bringing Tracy over here. Maybe
no. Maybe. Thank God they weren't peach rings. Little peaches. Oh, God. So Keep the Faith
had
a lot of the same sound, like a more up. Dated sound bringing in the 80s, but then they really went into love ballads a lot in the 90s.
Yes.
And Bed of Roses came out on Keep the Faith as well. And then in 3 years after they released Keep the Faith, they released These Days in 95, and they had like the songs, the Saint of Love song, These Days, My Guitar Lies Bleeding in My Arms. And in between that, they released like a best of album, but they had two brand new songs on that, Always, which was a huge hit.
Why does everybody's guitar need therapy?
I don't know.
While my guitar gently weeps,
and my guitar's bleeding in my arm.
Yeah, like all these guitars. Like, have you called your guitar today?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God! Thing sounded like a rock.
We're supposed to have aim.
Wow!
I'm glad I didn't hit River in the face. You might have chipped a tooth.
A black eye.
Close your eye.
That,
ah.
That one sounded harder than a male prostitute on payday.
Oh, you failed.
That's what she said.
Mission not accomplished. So anyways, Always came out on the best of CD Crossroads in 94, and it was one of the biggest hits they've had in a long time. It was a love ballad, basically, and the video itself was kind of sad. And then they had Someday I'll Be Saturday Night, which is one of the songs I like to belt out in the car when I've had a rough week. But they're like Bon Jovi. Not only is his voice sexy as hell, even when he's singing like the hard rock stuff, he's just got that rasp to it that just gets into you. But his writing and his passion for the music, and they've managed to evolve with their fans and bring new fans into them, like into their music. And they've evolved now to the point where they still make music. They're still releasing albums. They're still having the same fans. And they are not only just John Bon Jovi himself is not only iconic in the rock industry, but he's a humanitarian too. And he's a lot, does a lot of philanthropy. So, no, they're just a great band. And you saw like the resurgence of them basically in the early 90s. And then it carried through even more so. Maybe even more popular than the 80s, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, with...
And I got to see them in concert.
With Bon Jovi, even if you hear them on the radio now, they're the ones that are simple enough that a lot of people can pick up the lyrics to and sing along with.
They're versatile.
And you can definitely tell it's Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
And they're also not, like, super soft either.
No.
You know what I mean?
A little bit of that, you know, gruffness.
Yeah. Like, what was it? It's Our Life?
Yeah.
What year did
that? It's My Life.
Yeah.
That was 2000?
That was 2001, I think. And that was on the album Crush.
But, like, they kept going right through.
Yeah. I saw that album. Album when they took it on tour, the Crush tour, I saw that one at the ACC. And oh my god, they were so good. So good.
Well,
a lot of pot smokers in the audience that night. Peace out, bitches.
You can't mention the 90s without hitting a couple one hit wonders, and I bet you all have a couple on your list because that's what the 90s was full of.
One comes to mind is the Cardigans, Love Fool.
Love Fool?
Love me,
bro. Say
that you love me. Yeah.
Maybe late 90s.
Mid? I was in early high school, like grade 9, maybe 10-ish.
Yeah,
they
maybe.
Were from Sweden, I think. Or Finland, one of the two.
Yeah, one of those.
One of the Scandinavian countries. Well, that sounded more Irish.
Das.
What about Umbop by Hanson?
Were they really one-hit wonder, though? Because they had quite a few hits. That just might be their more well-known.
That's the well-known one. I mean, they still had albums coming. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, they still make them now. But, I mean, like, I think that was, like, their biggest hit, and they haven't really had a hit since then. So,
yes, Matthew.
Yeah.
Take my little hand.
Take my strong hand. When I was in high school, the student council's office decided that every day during each, in between class.
Breaks.
It wasn't a break. It was like the transition period where you walk from one class to the other, you know.
Yeah, like 5 minutes tops.
5 minutes tops, yeah. So during each one of those, all through lunch and at the end of school, they played Umbop on loop.
Oh, yeah, I'm so glad my school did not do that.
Until they raised enough money for
a new CD.
X. I don't know.
Is that what happened to you? Does that explain some things?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then this one popular girl I knew who was actually, I believe, on the students' council, as we were starting to get close to getting it taken off of the school radio. It wasn't really a radio, it was just the intercom system, but as we were getting close, she came into school one day and paid $100 to keep it on $100 longer. So she rewound the clock another $100, and it's like, no, oh my god, we only had like 2 more days of donations and we would have had this thing. And she just turned it into another 2 weeks. Oh, it was horrible.
That would have been grounds for proper bullying.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we don't actually condone bullying. I'm just saying.
I could have sued them for mental anguish.
It was the 90s.
Oh, yeah, back then.
Yeah. We weren't snowflakes.
No. But we still don't condone bullying.
No.
You don't start it, you finish it.
Unless we're sitting and being judgy.
Yes.
So then on the same line as the Moffats, you have the Hansons. Or the...
You mean on the same line as the Hansons, we have the Moffats.
Yeah, the Moffats, yeah.
Yeah.
I dyslexic. I know learn, read good.
What did they sing?
I couldn't tell you.
I had it on the tip of my...
Misery?
Yeah. Misery is what I feel when you're not around.
The cat scratching so in the I litter can't box hear. Brought it to my mind.
Oh. Because that's where that song belongs.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's shitty.
Oh.
Take the mic.
Yeah, it's right here.
Yeah, take it.
My sister got asked out by a Moffat.
Oh, really?
Yep. She went to like a festival and they were playing, and she wasn't really a fan of theirs. And
who was?
Well, there were some people that liked them. And so anyways, she happened to see them, and one of them came up to her and asked her out on the date, and she was like, no, I'm okay, thanks. What, so
wasn't the oldest one still younger than you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So that would be awkward.
And there's
because she's older than you, right? Is she older than you or
younger? No, my sister's younger than
me.
Oh,
okay.
The Moffats, there's one older brother and three triplets. Mm. Yeah, triplets, right?
They technically started in the 80s.
And then there's like another one, I think. There's four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and one of them is gay. I remember that. And the three triplets are, I'm pretty sure they're all straight, maybe. I'm not 100% sure which one's gay. Mm. But Scott is the oldest of them all. Yeah.
Awkward.
Mm-hmm. I just saved you guys such a cat stink.
Did you go bury it for her?
I buried it for her, and then I put the anti-stink baking soda stuff on it. So now it's going to smell fresh in here. Propelled by shite. You know, hot air rises and such.
Oh, what was that other?
Oh, I can smell it.
One hit wonder. It's,
you know, it's good for
what
you.
What was that one hit wonder? I love you always, forever, near and far, closer.
Yeah,
together.
I don't
know. Shit together.
Yeah, I don't know who does
everywhere
that one.
I will be with you.
We got to watch
it. Every day I will be for you.
Who say you'll love me forever? Can't remember what I have to do.
Yeah.
When I get to work, but I can sing those 90s songs.
Okay, so there's another one for you. When the tapes came out, like the Dance Mix 95 mm-hmm. and Dance Mix 96, I remember most of those being bangers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you were in if you had that mm-hmm. record or album or whatever. They were all pretty.
They were CDs back in those days.
Much music ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, and then they
did you put big too much?
Tunes.
Oh, well, Big Shiny Tunes was great.
It was a big
because it was more my style, right?
Yeah, Big Shiny Tunes was better.
Mm-hmm. It was hard rock, alternative rock, and stuff like that.
I had those.
Yeah, I think my brother had one of the Dance Mix ones, and I only stole it because it had Enigma on it, and I like some songs from them.
I'm gonna move this a little bit closer. Maybe I can rotate a bit like this.
I had a lot of one hit. I had a lot of CDs that had one hit wonders growing up. Like I had the Cardigans. I don't remember any other song off of it.
Okay, lift it. Oh, okay. So it
doesn't. Oh, okay.
Squeak.
What about "Zombie" by the Cranberries? That was a popular song.
I hate the Cranberries. Oh, I love Cranberries. In my head, in my head, in my head. Zombie.
I liked it.
Do you let me linger? Let me smell your finger.
Put it in her dinger.
She could not hold a note.
Well, she stylized it that way. Awful. And it may be not be the best
decision.
This is
going to be a very unpopular opinion, but people who can't hold notes, a.k.a. Gordon Downey from the Tragically Hip, should never have a microphone.
Okay, so what about the Crash Test Dummies?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That guy. They were fantastic.
Nope.
Oh, you like the Crash Test?
His voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't Nancy, like you that. And I are going to talk later. Yeah, I'll show you some cool ones.
I'm not big
I like
on
afternoons and coffee spoons. What is it that makes me just a little bit queasy?
Well,
don't sue me.
I think it...
I'm pretty, was it them or was it, no, I think it might have been Great Big Sea that I saw. They came to the Peach Festival the one year.
I think it was Great
Big Sea. I always get Great Big Sea and Really Big Fish mixed up because I think one belongs in the other.
Ew.
Anyways, I says to Mabel, I says, what hit wonders? Take it away.
You know who was good for Canadians? Ashley McIsaac. The fiddler?
Yes.
Oh my God, he was fantastic.
Yeah. I've seen him live before.
Bare Naked Ladies.
They weren't one hit wonders, though.
No. They're not one hit wonders. They're a great Canadian band. Canadian,
yeah. That's Canadian music's a whole new topic.
Yes.
What about Mr. Jones by Counting Crows?
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good song.
What about the song Two Princes? Remember that one?
Nope.
I love that song.
Nope. I don't even know who sings it. I don't know what it is.
I'll play it for you later.
You can't forget the one that, you know, went around the world and back again at the time. Can't Touch This.
But he had more than one.
He did have more than one, but that was, I don't know. He maybe had two, but like.
Because he had Too Legit to Quit, and then he had that song that you played, that girl, with Jordan Knight in the background.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I just had it.
You just, no, was it Chris who played it the other night, or you played it the other night?
I did.
All right. Yeah.
Because I couldn't figure out what it was. And what the heck was it?
I don't know now.
It's gone again.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But MC Hammer is who we're talking about.
Apparently, he had big dick pants on. They were all sideways pants, but they were dick pants. Because he was kind of a dick, apparently. I heard.
Oh, really?
I heard. I don't know if that's true or not.
I want to know how much of the Can't Touch This he actually believed in. Because that was a big
You're getting him mixed up with R. Kelly.
What?
You're getting him mixed up with R. Kelly.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Not even close.
R. Kelly did touch things.
No.
Did you watch that documentary?
No.
Oh.
I did.
What about No Rain by Blind Melon?
There you go. So that is that a typical one-hit wonder, right? That song is great, and it's such a tragedy that the lead singer, whose name right now escapes me, died. Like, I think he committed suicide, didn't he?
Hang on, we'll pull that.
Probably drug overdose, but... they were from Australia, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you were right. Yeah, they're from Australia.
Travis Warren? No.
Lead singer.
Where am I looking?
Another one. Pump Up the Jam. Pump it up.
Technotronics. That was more 80s, I think.
No, it's 90s.
Shannon Hoon.
Oh, Shannon Hoon, the lead vocalist. Okay, yeah. Were they from Australia?
You mentioned Enigma once before. Earlier.
Enigma had more than one hit, though. Like, they had...
Return to Innocence.
Return to Innocence, and they had Sadness.
Yeah.
As well.
Did,
No, California.
Oh, they're from California. Oh, who am I mistaken?
Did Vanilla Ice have more than one hit?
Not really.
Drug Overdose.
Oh, no, he had the Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah.
But then he had the Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
Yeah, but was it really a hit, though?
Or yes, it was, because it made him more money than Ice Ice Baby.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ninja Rap went crazy. And then, okay, so you can't mention Vanilla Ice without Jim Carrey. Have you guys seen that skit
on
Living Color?
In Living Color? Oh, yeah. My God. The first time I saw that, I'm like, why is this guy on a small comedy special like in Living Color?
But that, what he did would not fly today.
What
Jim Carrey said and Settler, what he sang in that song, how he changed it.
Well, I just take black music and dupe it.
Yeah, like you it wouldn't. Yeah,
you could say it because a lot of people
was on a comedy show that was predominantly.
Well, the thing was, that's how a lot of the black people felt at the time was that, you know, he's just, who was that other guy? He did Informer.
Oh, Snow. There's a one-hit wonder.
That's a one-hit wonder. Yeah. But, like, they were mad at him, too, because he was doing the Jamaican accent and stuff, but he's from Toronto.
He's a white guy.
Yeah.
Lick your boom-boom down. What the hell's a boom-boom, and why are you licking it?
Actually, there is a way to figure out what he's saying. It is written down somewhere. But he does take liberations with enunciations. Say that 10 times fast. Liberations with enunciations.
You couldn't even say it the second time.
That was tricky.
You said liberations, not alliterations.
What? No. I meant liberations.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm half asleep.
I'm half awake. Meet you in the middle.
All right. What other one-hit wonders do you have for us, Greg? In the
middle. Yeah, what do you got, Greggy?
The Bad Touch by the Bloodhound Gang.
Oh my god, that song. So I had that CD because of that song. And it was probably the most dirtiest CD I ever had.
What was that one? Oh, you mean the whole album was called
Yeah, the whole album was disgusting.
Okay, I've heard. Was that the one with the one about Bill Cosby?
I don't recall. It's been a long time.
Why is everybody always picking on me?
Yeah. Sweat, baby, sweet is the Texas, whatever. I can't remember the lyrics. I'm sorry. It's been like 20-something years.
The one song was like, why is everybody always picking on me? Because you dress like a woman and you sit down to pee. That kind of song can't even pass today.
No.
You know, really, like,
the whole song, The Bad Touch, wouldn't pass today. The title alone wouldn't pass today.
You remember the song Jimmy Pop?
No.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy. No, I'm not old or new, but middle school, fifth grade, like junior high. No? No.
But
that was the Bloodhound Gang as well.
What about Then I Got High? Wasn't that song 90s?
I remember it more in the 2000s, but that's when I started to get high. So that's kind of hard to say.
Do you remember who sang that? Then I Got High. Then I Got
That was...
She's going back to Google.
Red Men and Method Men, I think.
No, I don't.
Afro Man.
That's I knew it was one of the mans. 90s?
Or did it say? You might as well just keep your Google open, dude.
Keep your Google. What do you got, Greg? What do you got? Come on, Greg.
How about this one? Finally by CC Penison. Remember that one?
Finally,
it has happened to me.
Don't get sued by the guys who actually own the rights to the song. Please don't come after us.
All we cannot sing. We're just having fun, and I'm butchering every song I attempt anyways. Plus, I can't sing for shit.
Not a direct recording. It's a cover.
That's true.
What?
Do you have something to add?
Well, you have some. What?
You were born in the 90s?
Do you know a 90s song?
No, I want to say something.
What do you want to say? You don't need to say hi. No.
River says hi.
There you go.
She's our audience member. She's practicing.
She's all excited. She's got sugar in her now, and she's getting all Twitter-pated. By the way, you're done with the candies. You've had plenty.
So she sits down. She's like, I was going to go over there and get more.
Oh, okay.
I was going to throw another one at her.
Don't throw things, Greg. You're going to hurt somebody.
Yeah. Probably get a nosebleed.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want that. That's pretty much my list for now.
Said you had another one.
No, I don't.
No, he said she was going to throw another one at
Candy. I thought you meant another one from the
list.
Let's see, Nancy
go.
So my 90s was much different than the rest of yours.
You have a 90s?
Because my 90s was full of grunge music.
Ew.
And I was a grunge kid.
Go wash your hair.
That's what that smell is.
Yeah, sorry. So my bands were Bush, Nirvana, Stone Temple Pilots, Foo Fighters, Soundgarden, Silverchair, Hole, Green Day, Pearl Jam, Temple of the Dog.
I got into all those later. Like after they had already come out.
After?
Yeah. Like when those came out, I was still like in junior high or lower.
Yeah, because I think wasn't grunge like 90, 91, 92? When it first came.
Yeah.
And the reason why it was so popular was because it was so opposite to what the 80s was.
Yeah.
When the 80s was very poppy and
happy,
like,
and twinkly,
you know,
and funky.
Overly done, like blush up to your, you know, eyebrows. And this came in, it was dirty and raw and the very opposite. But when you're talking about experiences, in 99, I went to Edgefest. And that was like the first concert I've ever been to. And I saw, who did I see? Creed was there. Green Day was there. I remember Green Day.
That's already two pretty good ones.
Mm-hmm. It was a long time ago.
was Blink 182 there? Was that
90s? They weren't 90s. They were more 2000s because they're more emo rock.
Yeah, are they?
And the emo was like came out in like early 2000s.
I didn't see them as emo rock. I saw them as more skater.
Oh, yeah. When did Blink? In 92. So, yeah. They were 90s. They came back. Blink is back. They redid an album. But, like, the one thing, too, is so even though it's not the same band, but like Dave Grohl went from Nirvana to Foo Fighters and has like kept going. And so like his sustainability alone, I think he's like a one man band pretty much.
I was going to mention, you mentioned Ed Fest, Silverchair was probably there, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Yep.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of
theirs. They were the Australian band that maybe you were thinking of.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, Silverchair is Australian.
I was
into Oasis.
Oasis was actually more alternative.
Yeah, but they still had something in the 90s.
Yeah, they did, because what's Story, Morning Glory? But I was going to add to the grunge thing.
Well,
saying whatever. That I was really into Green Day when they first came out.
And yeah.
When Dookie came out, that was one of the first grunge albums I actually owned.
Me too.
And my mom and dad didn't realize I had swearing in it. And they
mine too.
Yeah, they flipped a little bit.
Oh, mine didn't. Because we had friends whose parents also listened to it. So because it was cool with their parents, my mom was like, yeah, whatever.
Well, I wasn't allowed the Color Me Bad album because it had a song, I Want to Sex You Up, on it.
Oh.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed that either.
No.
Oh.
But I loved Color Me Bad.
That's a one-hit wonder. The one that, When I Think About You.
Oh, the Divinals?
Yeah.
Yeah. I Touch Myself. Yeah.
That was 90s, wasn't it?
My brother and I used to freaking watch the music video and we'd giggle like schoolgirls. Oh my gosh, she touched herself.
How'd that go?
Oh my god, they're touching themselves. Oh my god.
So would you guys count Our Lady Peace as a grunge band or more as a rock band?
They were more alternative.
Yeah.
But they were pretty popular in the 90s too.
Yeah.
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 Same with, was it I Mother Earth?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that's when The Hip came out too, I think, isn't it, in the 90s?
They were out in the 80s.
Were they?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. They did hit it big though in the 90s more so than the 80s.
With Bob Cage, and I remember that song was on the radio all the time.
Yeah. Never.
Neat.
You have more to add to that one?
Yeah, you got. What else you got, Nancy?
Oh, I just remember, like, my dad, because, I mean, up until my teens, I listened to what my parents listened to, and, like, poppy 80s stuff. And then when this stuff came out, my dad was like, oh, it's just screaming, yelling, you know, stupid. And then I remember playing him, like, Nirvana was quite the screaming and yelling. Like, there was a lot there, but, like, Bush wasn't, STP wasn't, Foo Fighters, you know, I think Foo Fighters came later.
Foo Fighters were late 90s.
Yeah. But like Pearl Jam wasn't like...
Oh, Pearl Jam was great.
Yeah. You couldn't understand what he was saying.
But... No, but that's why I was fine.
So I remember showing my dad and being like, no, like, it's actually real music. It's not screaming and yelling and like death metal.
Mm.
And
oh, I love death metal. I do.
See, I like some of it. Death Rob, metal. I do. I love Rob Zombie.
Oh, Rob Zombie's great. Deftones.
Yeah. When did Rob Zombie get big?
They were in the. He was big in the 90s with White Zombie. I think More Human Than Human came out in the 90s. That was one of the very.
Oh, Nine Inch Nails?
Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. Nin.
Yeah. But Rob Zombie, I had White Zombie with More Human Than Human on it on
he's
CD.
He's 59 years old.
I know, and he's smart as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Zombie's one of the smartest guys.
When did it. I'm Afraid of Americans with Nine Inch Nails and David Bowie come out?
That was probably early to mid 90s. Yeah.
What about Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson was huge in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Because I had a lot of friends in high school who listened to him.
Even us all the way down to like...
Mid-2000s.
Late elementary school, we knew about Marilyn Manson.
That's because you were younger than me. So when I was in grade 10, you were still in elementary school.
But I mean, elementary school shouldn't be listening to Marilyn Manson. No. But that's how big he got. It trickled down to the elementary school. Well, everybody knew about it. Well,
then there was that whole, like, he's a devil worshiper and he's Satan.
And he could suck his
Can suck his own.
Yeah, we have an audience of 9.
Breakfast.
Yeah.
Breakfast.
Because he had ribs removed.
Yeah, which was BS.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Blamgo. Can't do
that. Yeah. But... Yeah, like some of the, like the music back then was fantastic.
So I believe Mortal Kombat came out in the 90s, and the theme song for that was pretty big for a bit, at least at like dances and stuff Mortal like that. Kombat. Yeah, bum 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 bum. Yeah, that's what techno.
Yeah, techno was big in the 90s too, though, because that's like with the raves and everything. That was more like late 90s.
Daft Punk had a bunch in the 90s, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is making me feel really old.
Yes. Hi, Greg.
But like my
playlist... What about the Macarena? Was that popular in the late 90s?
Yeah.
And Ricky Martin, too.
Yes.
Ricky Martin.
Enrique Iglesias.
Yes. Enrique Iglesias.
Like, if I pull up my playlist, where's my...
Britney Spears, I think, started in 90. Yes. 99. 98, 99. 97,
probably.
So let me read you off some of the things from my nostalgia playlist.
Oh, you have a nostalgia playlist?
Hypnotize by Biggie.
Nice.
California Love. Nice. Shoop.
Shoop. Shoop.
DMX.
Y'all gonna make me lose my...
Yep. Eminem. Was he the night? No. Yeah. Was he? Yeah, Eminem. Yeah. Will Smith. Shaggy.
Yeah.
Eagle Eye Cherry.
Oh, wow. I remember that.
Save Tonight. Yeah. Backstreet Boys. Savage Garden.
Nice. Oh, Savage LFO, Garden, yeah.
The Cranberries. All Saints. They were... Oh, Spin Doctors is the Two Princes song.
Yes.
Mr. Jones. Four Non-Blondes. A House of Pain. I remember dancing to that one. Jump Around.
Yeah. Oh, it was that every school dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one in Jump Around.
The Offspring. Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Presidents of the United States, Peaches and Lump. Yes.
Millions of peaches. Peaches for me.
The peaches come from a can. They were put there by a man in a factory downtown.
Whitney Houston had a comeback in the 90s.
Now,
yeah,
with
somebody else's song.
We also can't mention 90s music without mentioning the king of parody, Weird Al.
Yes.
Because, like, the stuff he changed other things into from, and, you know, even though it was a lot food related, you know, that happens sometimes. It's a way to keep things clean and still have a funny song.
I bet Sarah's favorite song from him is Jurassic Park.
No. I liked
the Amish one.
Amish Paradise.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Actually, I don't know which one would be my favorite one. The one I used to probably walk around singing the most was probably You Know I'm Fat instead of Bad.
Meatloaf had a comeback in the 90s.
Meatloaf did have, especially with like those long genre dramatic songs. You know, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. And he's talking about butt sex.
What about Mariah Carey?
I don't know.
She
was huge.
Mariah Carey
still
came out.
Is huge.
Right? As the girl next door. Great voice. Pretty. And then when she did that Honey album, she became a big whore. She was the whore next door. River, don't say whore.
She's like, got it.
Parenting 101. Yeah, don't say what mommy says.
But she puts on a Christmas special every year, and it's so special.
So special. Oh, my God.
I was a huge...
I can see her mistletoe.
I was a huge Mariana Trench fan. Now, were they 90s or were they 2000s? I think they were 2000s.
I've never heard of them.
You've never heard of Mariana's Trench?
Oh, just the underwater thing.
Okay, so we have just under 10 minutes, closer to 7. I want to go down the line and ask you... Well, you got to be quicker with your stuff.
You can go longer because you got to edit stuff. So, okay.
Do yours, and then I'll do my idea.
Okay, so in mid-90s, we saw a resurgence of country music, finding a new niche.
Did, yes.
Yeah.
And younger fans emerged with the debut of Canadians Shania Twain. Uh-huh. The teen fans who were more closet fans of country music started to be more open with the so-called uncool genre during a time where popular disgruntled grunge music, and I mean that in a good way. Twain brought femininity, sex appeal on a classy level. Past and popular country stars like Garth Brooks, Reba McEntire, and many more got an additional
Reba
boost.
McEntire, yeah.
Yeah.
Because she had a show, too.
Yeah, and picking up new younger fans after Twain ushered in the new era. She's one of the first to have her country songs played on mainstream pop-based radio. Hang on, I'm getting there. I'm almost done. Younger country stars rode the popularity coattail as well and became big stars like Leanne Rimes, Mindy McCready, Brian White, Dina Carter, Trace Atkins, the late Toby Keith, who just recently passed away, David Lee Murphy, Lone Star, Brad Paisley, and the Chicks.
I really like your list.
Hang on, I'm getting there. Formerly known as the Dixie Chicks, you saw careers of other stars that weren't as big all of a sudden just get boosted right up there.
Mm-hmm.
Trisha Yearwood, Brooks and Dunn, Faith Hill, George Strait, Martina McBride. But the 90s gave you more options for music, I think, in general. Like, you saw the emergence of country. You saw the birth of grunge. You saw the birth of alternative music in a way, too. And there was always something for everybody.
Yeah, but one thing died. Funk.
Funk did die.
There, and disco.
Disco died too.
There is no funk left in anything. No.
I think Prince was the only one who was ever doing funk, and his albums were kind of pushed back.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, like, the country music was probably the most surprising one to reemerge. And it hit that stride in the 90s. Like, even I listened to a lot of country music. One of the bands I picked up the most was The Corrs, which is an Irish band. And they weren't really country so much as they were just, like, Irish pop. But they did a lot of fiddles and stuff and tin whistles.
That's when Riverdance came out.
I was literally about to say Riverdance and Feet of Flames huge. And all that kind of stuff. All that stuff was massive.
I saw Lord of the Dance at Hamilton Place with my grandma and my mom. Fantastic. It wasn't with Michael Flatley, though.
Was it mainly Michael Flatley that brought the...
It was Michael Flatley. I did see Michael Flatley. Born in Kratz, skated to Riverdance at the 1998 Olympics in ice dance.
Yeah.
And they got hosed. I won't go into that. That's a whole new podcast. I can go on a rant for that for 60 minutes.
The Olympics. Brought to you by the Mystery Matt Spotlight.
But, like, we all enjoyed probably at least one country music person in our entire life. Like we probably at least had one of those people on that list that we gravitated towards. I had at least three that I gravitated towards. And I think they just kind of... They made it cool.
Yeah.
You know, country music's kind of died out in its popularity, I think. Again.
It's gone back down until Taylor Swift came. And Taylor added a little bit of flair to it.
But then she went to the pop genre. So...
You still got Dolly Parton doing a lot
Dolly
of good
Parton,
country.
Yeah, her career's gotten resuscitated.
And Beyonce just released, is releasing a country album on March 29th.
Yeah, the operative word there is country. Did you see that outfit? That's disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting. Sexualizing. No wonder people think women are whores.
Her song is the number one country song on the radio right now. Ugh.
It's not country, though.
No.
It's country pop or R&B country.
I have stuff about Tool and A Perfect Circle, but I don't think we have time for it. So
no. So
if you Perfect Circle is a cool band, listen to them.
If you were to pick one band from the 90s that would sum up the whole thing, what would you pick?
Our experience? Spice
Girls.
Spice Girls?
For me, because I listened to everything in the freaking 90s. But Spice Girls, I had the most merchandise of. I had the most posters of. I bought the lollipops of. I wore platform shoes because of them. I went to the movie twice and cried both times. Because, you know, they broke up in the movie.
Paper bag, bitch.
Like a million times.
But I think they were ones that really said, hey, look, women can kind of do it all, and there's one Spice Girl for every five females out there. Like, there was one that you always kind of liked, you know, more than the others, one that you felt more connected to.
It was kind of like your favorite Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. But they were fun.
And it's funny because they did color code them, but just not with colors. They had personality differences, right?
But they were fun, you know, they brought that fun to it.
Yeah. What about you, Nancy? What would you say does the 90s for you?
I would have to say Nirvana, because that, like, kicked off my own learning what my own style and taste in music was instead of listening to my parents' stuff. So, like, Nirvana kicked off all of the grunge and alternative for me.
Gregory?
You're gonna laugh at this one, but this is the band that I liked. S Club 7. They were huge in the 90s.
S Club.
They had their own shows, and I used to watch them on Much Music, like S Club Goes to LA, I think was the...
Well, there ain't no party like an S Club party.
Exactly. And they made a comeback this year. And yeah, so I mean, like, they're not S Club 7 anymore. They're just called S Club because one member is no longer with us. And
yeah, it was sad.
Yeah, and the other one doesn't want to be with the group anymore.
All I know is that for me, like, you saw emergence of, like, the British pop
with the Spice Girls.
With the Spice Girls, because you had bands like Step come out, and you had, oh my god,
Oasis, but we already talked about them.
Oh my god, there was a group of them that Robbie Williams came out of. I can't remember what.
Boys
to something. Not Boys to Men. No, I know that, but it was. Oh my god. So Robbie Williams came out of a band that was. Oh my god. April would know this. April, you would know this. Because she listened to all of these bands, especially Steps.
Hang on,
we're looking it up.
He had a good solo career, too.
Oh, Robbie Williams was excellent.
Take That?
Yes, Take That.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I had a crush on him.
Who, Robbie Williams?
Yes.
I liked him because he was funny. He had personality. You see, for me, though, I can't, like, just pinpoint one part of the 90s for me. Because my musical taste basically is... I'm going to look at Tool and A Perfect Circle. A Perfect Circle came out in 99. And their music... kind of rolled up my whole personality going into the 2000s to the late 2000s as well. But for me, I guess I'm so over the map with my musical taste anyways, so I can't really just pick one. But Spice Girls were at least fun, you know?
I started out with dance music in the early 90s, and then I kind of switched over to like the grunge, and because I started listening to in high school and stuff like that.
See,
because
I listened to everything.
No one was listening to pop music that much. I mean, they were still dance music, but I mean, like, it was mostly grunge at our high school, so that's what everyone was listening to.
This might
except for
kid.
S Club.
I'm sad that my first Digimon died. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. You got two more, and then you can restart another one, can't you?
Oh, always.
Yeah.
Actually, when this one dies, it turns into an egg, and you're just starting.
You can hatch a new baby.
Well, she's
also from the 90s.
Yeah.
Digimon, yes. Digimon is from the 90s.
Well, yeah, but it's not music, although it did have a pretty cool theme song.
Teeny weeny beanie.
Yeah, that's not from the 90s. Thanks for coming. So, yeah, that's...
I didn't say yours.
Oh, I didn't say mine?
No, you didn't.
Mine would probably be, sadly enough, Vanilla Ice. Just because... his style that was still left over from the 80s, you know, still had the, you know, sneakers and the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air kind of swag, you know what I mean? Had the catchiness of most commercials and stuff that you would see in the 90s, so it was catchy, you know, Ice Baby, you know, one of those catch lines that at the time it just got you. And, so, like, oddly enough, it would be the cheesiness of Vanilla Ice explaining the entire decade, because the 90s was also the decade of, like, gross things for kids, you know, slimes and all that kind of stuff. A lot of the slimes have come back now, but back when we were kids, the slime had a purpose. Like, you would buy a Ghostbuster and it would come with, you know, ghost slime and stuff like that. Slimer. And Slimer, and then you had, like... monster toys that would shoot the slime out their nose or out their eyes or out their ears or right there was a whole bunch of really gross toys for boys back in the 90s and yeah, just kind of to me it all ties in. So anyways, yeah, that's been our look at music. Join us next week for something completely different. Have a good night.